Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. One of the strongest earthquakes ever to hit northern Iran has left more than 2,000 people dead and nearly 5,000 injured. It struck a six-province area as most people were sleeping, and the full casualty toll may not be known for days. Measuring 7.7 on the Richter scale, the quake leveled whole villages and caused heavy damage to the city of Qazvin. 90 miles to the east, the quake rocked Tehran, where Deborah Ternes was staying in a hotel.
The reception area just started shaking. People started panicking. The chandeliers were rocking. And everybody shouted, get out, get out.
Later, a second strong quake rocked the area. Catherine Arms has been monitoring Iranian news dispatches in Cyprus.
The Sanjan province was one of the worst, and many towns were completely destroyed. Buildings collapsed, and people had to spend the nights on the street.
Tehran, says Arms, declared 3 days of mourning for the dead and is asking for relief assistance.
Tehran Radio has appealed for medical help and for anyone to get to the scene as quickly as possible. The problem is that the earthquake caused landslides blocking roads to the area. They have also requested heavy machinery to help in rescue operations.
Iran's President Khamenei approved an immediate $1 billion in relief aid. Spiritual leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei flew to the area, calling the quake a divine test. The carrier USS Midway is back at its home port in Tokyo Bay after yesterday's explosions and fire that left two sailors dead and nine others seriously injured. On board the carrier today, Rear Admiral Lyle Bull, commander of the 7th Fleet Battle Force, said the two bodies had just been airlifted ashore.
I would like to express my sincerest gratitude to the two heroic young men who perished in the line of duty, and also to the injured shipmates and to all their families.
The Midway is the oldest aircraft carrier in the U.S. fleet of 14 and was due for mothballing next year. The fire and explosions may speed up plans for its retirement. Israel has applauded President Bush for breaking off talks with the PLO because Yasser Arafat won't condemn a failed guerrilla raid on Israel. Bob Simon reports.
The new right-wing Israeli government had received the most valuable gift an American administration could have offered, a repudiation of its enemy. But along with other Israeli officials, Defense Minister Moshe Aaron struck a casual note as if it were only to be expected.
We knew that the PLO continued to engage in terrorist activity. We brought the information to the attention of the administration, and we're gratified to see the administration has now reached the same conclusion that we have.
Spokesman for Prime Minister Shamir said it will now be easier for the government to establish a dialogue with Palestinians in the territories because they will no longer consider the PLO to be a major player. Palestinians who live in the territories, however, disagreed. Hannah Signora.
I am certain as a result of this announcement, we are drifting into another major Arab-Israeli war.
While Israeli politicians are struggling to conceal their joy, Israeli intelligence officers are warning that the administration's decision will lead to an escalation of terrorist attacks, with an emphasis on American targets. Bob Simon, CBS News, Tel Aviv.
A suspected IRA bomb went off this morning at a Royal Air Force base in North London. Nobody was hurt. The brother of executed Romanian dictator Nicolae Ceaușescu was sentenced today to 15 years in prison on mass murder charges. Nicolae Andruta Ceaușescu once headed the secret police training school. Top South African official said today the government has agreed to release political prisoners, a key demand of the African National Congress. Today's action clears the way for power-sharing negotiations and a post-apartheid constitution, perhaps as early as next year. And a government negotiator challenged the ANC to match what he called the courage of President de Klerk. New York's cavernous Riverside Church was filled this morning with admirers of South Africa's visiting Nelson Mandela. The ailing 71-year-old black nationalist leader apologized for being seated as he spoke about the church's role in ending the white minority's power over a voteless black majority.
It is no use condemning apartheid or talking about the realization of the principle of one person, one vote, for which we're fighting, if one does not consider most carefully the methods, the concrete methods whereby those aims can be achieved.
Later today, Mandela addresses anti-apartheid rallies in Harlem and at Yankee Stadium. The election year flag-burning firecracker could fizzle out today in the House of Representatives. Correspondent Rob Armstrong has that.
Today, the House will actually vote on a proposed constitutional amendment, and sources on both sides of the issue are saying it looks unlikely supporters will get the two-thirds majority needed to approve it. Republican Whip Newt Gingrich seemed to concede that at a news conference yesterday.
It is stunning to me the Democratic leadership is willing to be legislatively slick and politically dumb. They have no comprehension of what's going on out there.
Supporters of the flag amendment are saying regardless of how today's vote goes, they intend to keep the issue on the front burner with the heat turned up. Rob Armstrong, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Last night's opening of the big AIDS conference in San Francisco was marked by demonstrations and some 80 arrests. Judy Muller reports.
There were moments during the opening session of this international conference on AIDS when it was difficult to tell the difference between what was going on outside the convention hall and what was going on inside.
300,000 dead from AIDS. Where is George?
AIDS activist Peter Staley, one of the scheduled speakers, led the delegates in a protest chant against the AIDS policies of President Bush. Outside, other AIDS activists tried to storm the barricades. Dozens of protesters were arrested. Inside, speaker after speaker denounced U.S. immigration policy that bars people infected with the AIDS virus. Dr. June Osborne was among those wearing red armbands to express support for delegates who had stayed away because of that policy.
To the absent participants, I would like to say how sorry I am and how embarrassed as an American that our country, whose tradition serves as a proud beacon for emerging democracies, should persist in such misguided and irrational current policy.
Today, the delegates get down to business with two plenary sessions and 16 symposiums. Judy Muller, CBS News, San Francisco.
East German lawmakers today approved the treaty that formally combines the German economies a week from next Monday. Jesse Schulman reports.
By giving the treaty its overwhelming approval, 302 votes to 82, East Germany's parliament has taken its biggest formal step yet towards unification. The treaty is still being debated by the West German parliament, but approval there and in the so-called Federal Council in Bonn is not in question. The treaty sets out the terms for introduction of the West German mark into East Germany. Those terms include the takeover of virtually all power over economic life by the West German government. Already approved today by the East German parliament and awaiting debate in the West, a joint resolution declaring the current border with Poland as final. A touchy issue since politically potent minorities in West Germany have never accepted the forced surrender of German territory to Poland after World War II. Jesse Schulman for CBS News, East Berlin.
About 3 hours before Judy Bueno Año, the so-called Black Widow killer, was scheduled to die in Florida's electric chair, a federal judge granted her a 24-hour stay of execution. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 9.41. It's 7:10.